Hello, everyone. I'm Davy Jags, and this is Sparkle On. Sparkle is your happiness, passion, and self-worth, and nothing can ever dim your light. Today, I'm so excited to have a really full circle moment with guest Amy Peterson. She is CEO and founder of Rebel Nell, which is an amazing social enterprise that I'm so excited to dive into. We originally got connected when I was writing for a publication called Her Agenda. And I knew I had to highlight Amy's story and the amazing work that she's doing in the city of Detroit. So Amy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Fun.
Yeah, I mean,
bring it all together.
It's crazy because listeners that are tuning in, we're actually filming from Austin, Texas, because we're at South by Southwest right now. So it's March, the best kind of weather in Austin at the time. There's music everywhere. I was like going through the programming and I was like, oh my gosh, Rebel Nell is at Midwest House. I gotta go meet her in person. And so you had an amazing activation, and We're here early, powering through with our coffee. Yes, yes. So, you know, how has South By been so far?
Like, oh my gosh, this has been such an incredible moment for me. South By has just been this thread throughout my entrepreneurial journey. And this week, yesterday when you saw me, was that was a milestone event for me. I will think of it very fondly. And, you know, I do believe in the power of manifestation. And I'm going back to even, like, I had to take a moment when you said, you know, when dims your light. Like, you have so many of those throughout your career, particularly being an entrepreneur. And the more you can remember that, the more it helps you, right?
Yeah. We were talking about that yesterday, of, like, just kind of those, like, small moments where it's, like, you see, like, how faith just gets you to the next moment.
Sometimes it's all you have.
It's literally like
when it's dark, and that's what I was sharing with you yesterday, like South By on this journey. You know, I had a very, very dark moment here. You know, I'd always wanted to be a part of the South By. I just thought it was cool, but to be around all these innovators, and so I would pay my way to come down here, like so many do, but a lot of them have companies behind them, right?
Of course,
like,
yeah.
And on paper, we don't make sense. We're a sustainable jewelry brand. That doesn't make sense in the tech, crypto, AI, cool, wild space, but we would do a booth every year, and I would basically just like cover my expenses. So I was excited to do it. But then in 2023, the business hit a really rough patch, like very rough. Like I thought it was done. And you go through these moments, but that was the most intense, extreme one ever. And I really thought that South By was my swan song. Like we had gone through all these layoffs. My business partner abruptly departed. Financially, we were in a really bad position, and we had already paid for South By, and I was like, I'm just gonna go. It's gonna be my last thing that I do. And I remember, you know, working the booth like you do. You just hustle, you make it, you put on your face, and you just show up. But I had reached a breaking point around noon, and I was like, I was either gonna burst into tears in front of a customer, or I could give myself 15 minutes and walk away. And so I was telling you, like, I sat on a street corner in the middle of South By in 2023 and just wailed tears. Like I was just a mess. And I was like, well, this is it. It's been a good, you know, 9 years at that point. 10 years. But then I start, you know, you're just so inspired by the activation. So I finished my day, went over to the Midwest House, and I was like, what if we did an activation instead? Like, what if I could find a way to reinvent this? Long story short, and then I had this dream of being on a panel. And I started, you know, sharing it, but more importantly, really thinking it. And that leads to this year, where I was asked to be on a panel and asked to do an activation. And it's such an incredible moment of gratitude and also persistence.
Yeah, and for the listeners that don't know, South by Southwest started out as a big music festival in Austin. Austin is an amazing artist town. It's full of entrepreneurs, musicians, artists of every single kind. And then South By has grown exponentially. It's tech, it's advocacy, it's a huge film festival, amazing music, and all different types of entrepreneurs come together. And you said this was your fifth year, right?
I can't remember the math, but it's fourth or fifth.
Right. And so in that moment, I kind of want to just dive into, you know, this company is your sparkle, right? Mm-hmm. You're championing women. You are bringing women from who have been displaced in the city of Detroit and helping them find opportunities through entrepreneurship and making jewelry.
Yes.
Not only that, you're also recycling the graffiti that's in Detroit. Mm-hmm. So the artist culture there and making it into jewelry, which I think is so unique and so special. How did you tell yourself in that moment that the mission that you were pursuing was worth it? Like in that breaking point?
I mean, to say it was full of clarity would be an absolute lie, right? It was like, but you really, those are the moments where you just have to like dive really deep and remember the vision that you had, right? We all have them, that we're all entrepreneurs. We all know what we want this to look like. And that's just where you have to go. And you really have two choices to make. Mm-hmm. You can wallow in your misery, or you can put one foot in front of the other and just start again. And I think it was that moment I just decided I'm going to start again. I'm going to build it back up. And that, it just, I don't know. I think we are warriors. Mm-hmm. And every time you go through something, it just makes you so much stronger.
Was there like maybe like a consumer or some sort of stranger that you met that weekend in 2023 at South By that like kind of helped show you that light again?
I think, yeah, there's been so many. This incredible friend I have, Margarita, she's been just incredible at like exposing me to people at South By. My friend Justin Mass, also an incredible entrepreneur, a guy named Michael Saratakis. Like they've always just been a great sounding board for me and been with me like on a lot of the ups and downs. And you know, that's all I needed at that time.
Yeah.
I think was just someone to listen.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that's why in entrepreneurship and any artistic journey, community is important.
Absolutely.
Like we always talk about how it's an isolating experience, but when we really take back that lens, it really is that holistic approach. Why the name Rebel Nell?
Great question. We really wanted to pay homage to the women who've come before us, the trailblazers out there. We wouldn't be where we are today, despite it sometimes feeling like we do take steps backwards. But my business partner and I at the time both had a shared love of Eleanor Roosevelt. Such a badass. Like, such a badass. Mm-hmm. Incredible women's rights advocate, humanitarian, civil rights advocate. And her, I was reading a book about her at the time, and her dad called her Little Nell. Mm-hmm. And I thought she deserved more kick-ass nickname. That's how we came up with Rebel Nell.
Yeah.
I also believe that every woman we employ is rebelling against what life has dealt to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, you know, we were making jewelry from fallen graffiti. It's such a rebellious art form.
Yeah.
So that just, it all tied together.
Let's start there. So you were living next to a homeless shelter at the time.
Correct.
What was that initial spark that was like, you wanted to tie in those stories of the women being displaced in a social enterprise?
Yeah, the journey for me is, I mean, so many entrepreneurs, I think, can say this. Like, the journey for me is a little wild. I never set out to do this. This wasn't what I was going to do. At 14, I was going to be the first female general manager of a Major League Baseball team.
Yeah.
Period. End of story. That's all I wanted. And I like sunk my teeth into that. And that's what drove me for so long. And ultimately what brought me to Detroit. I was very fortunate. You know, there's that's a whole other story of how I got there. But I spent 11 years there. Ultimately was an attorney with them. However, there were a lot of challenges, you know, in the industry, being a woman, especially with those ambitions. And I was, you know, frustrated at the lack of support. And so at the time, I was living next door to the shelter that catered to women and families. And so this became my outlet. And I do think that's a good thing to think about, is like how we channel our energy.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, you know, instead of being overly defeated at how I wasn't making progress, I decided, you know what, screw it. I'm going to start a company that's dedicated to doing what I wanted to feel, right? Uplifting and empowering women. So Rebel Nile started Mission first, mm-hmm. and then the concept for the jewelry came afterwards, which no business should do. I mean, it's nice to have like a good product first, yeah. your mission first. And it's funny, now we're a verified social enterprise and all those things, but that was not a term when I started the company. I had no idea.
That's interesting.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't until 2 years after a tour group from California came to Detroit and they're like, this is one of the coolest social enterprises we've ever seen. I was like, what's that? That sounds amazing. So the intentionality wasn't there to like start a social enterprise. It's like the idea of like, I knew what we were going to do.
Right.
How are we going to support it came next. And Rebel Nile was born. We've hired, I think we're 47 women out of the shelter. And while that may not seem tremendous, given how long we've been around, what we specialize in is going really, really deep with the women we do employ. So we tackle a lot of barriers when they're working with us, and it takes some time. We also look at the impact that it has on their family. So we're close to, like, lives impacted. We're at almost 400.
So when you are talking about, you know, employing these women, what are some of the issues that they're battling through? Mm-hmm. And what do you mean, like, when you're working with them? Like, are you teaching them how to be a great employee? What are some of the educational tools that you're using?
Totally. So what Rebel Nile is, we're like a transitional employer. Mm. So what do I mean by that? Is many of the women, we hire directly out of local shelters, mm-hmm. and many of the women are unable to hold full-time jobs in the traditional workforce because of barriers that hold them back. So we like to be that soft landing place to help prepare them for the traditional workplace. Mm. So they will, once we hire them, you know, we don't, I'm a big believer in, we don't do a background check. Mm-hmm. To me, where you've been does not define your future.
I love that.
And we really kind of start, we meet them where they are. Mm-hmm. And we know that like what's going on in their personal life will affect their professional life. So that's the other reason, like, we're a little different. Like,
yeah.
If you're open and honest with us, we can find you the tools and resources to help you overcome that while you have a full-time job.
Yeah.
So we will come in and just kind of assess, you know, start with, you know, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, food, shelter, water. Like, how do we take care of that first? Because if you're able to have housing, you can be better for your family. Therefore, you can be a better employee. So we kind of work on that almost immediately,
yeah.
making sure that the housing piece we get taken care of. A lot of the women are like right on the cusp of getting ready to go into permanent housing.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like where we like to take them. Plus with a full-time job, it helps them at that yeah. point. Then we'll understand their financial. Where are you in the financial literacy piece? Like, what does your budget look like? Someone who's got six kids under the age of 10, is her budget's going to look a little different than if she has two kids who are grown, right? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the initial assessment. Then we teach them, obviously, the skill of making jewelry, but more importantly, the transferable skill of customer service. Because that you can go to any industry, right? It's not like we're training jewelry makers to make jewelry makers forever and ever and ever. We know that that is a limited industry.
Yeah.
But this is training not only, yes, jewelry is like how we make our bread and butter, but you also get certified in customer service. And that you can go anywhere.
Yeah.
So then, you know, then it's just like, what are those resources that, you know, do you have transportation? Okay, you don't have transportation. Let's get to the root of why. Okay, you've got a driver's license that has several infractions on it. Can we get those cleaned up for you? Right. And then you just kind of like chip away at the different scenarios and those different barriers that then will elevate them for the next step.
And there's no real blueprint for the type of company that you know, you've been building.
No.
And so, like, as far as how you're cutting costs and you know, scaling, like, it's almost like the advice that might come before your company isn't applicable. And I'm sure, like, when you were reaching that point where you thought you were going to have to shut the company down, mm-hmm. that was probably a huge factor, is like you didn't even have the mentorship. You're helping other women, you know, get on their feet.
You are building the plane as you're flying it. And when things like start to crumble, you still have to somehow keep it flying. Right.
Right.
Like, it's even, and then you can't really fix it at this. It's wild.
So then how were you taking care of yourself and essentially trying to find the answers to your own questions during this time, or how are you constantly doing that?
I think, I mean, at that time I wasn't, I was pretty dark, but, but then you get through it. But also, I mean, this is for the women in the audience who are getting into an age when you start to feel out of control, go get your hormones checked. Go get them checked. Oh, that's a game changer for me.
Yeah, that's a great answer.
Because perimenopause can hit earlier than when menopause does, and that's so, not to go into like the health side of things, but I've realized that was super critical to figuring out that piece for me. I'm getting better at understanding, and because I do believe it's 1,000% true, you can't pour from an empty cup. You have to get sleep. Everybody's done it, right? I would work throughout the night thinking I needed to meet these deadlines. Turns out now I get a lot more sleep and the shit still gets done, right? And that's putting priority. I mean, I'm a mom now, like I have other priorities out there as well. But I'm big on doing yoga in the morning. I'm not doing a full hour. I do 10 minutes. Yoga with Cassandra is amazing.
I do yoga with Adrian.
Yes, I also do that one as well. 10 minutes, something new every day, and that's what I need. And then I will meditate. I never understood what it meant when people would say, like, oh, that takes work. It takes work. And I'd be like, what do you mean work? Like, it does. Like, I've grown so much in the mental health, wellness journey from where I was 3 years ago. And it's one step at a time. It's just literally like simple days where you're like, oh, I may not have time to do this. Make the effing time.
Well, and I think like people think they actually do have to pull up the whole YouTube video and like go through like a 10-minute sequence. Like this morning I was sitting there like stretching on the bed in my Airbnb. Like my suitcase is all over. There's no room on the floor.
Right.
I like put a cold towel on top of my face and I just like lay there and count to like 70. Like it was super random.
Sounds nice.
Like it was just like little things where I'm like, all right, we're on the seventh day of South By. My voice is almost gone. We're in the same town. We got to get this done.
Yeah.
Because, you know, what you're doing is great. Like, so you kind of figure it out. But like to your point about figuring out kind of the holistic sense of the hormones, one of the most interesting things I've done in the last 2 years is learn how to monitor my creative energy and workflow in sync with my menstrual cycle.
Oh, yeah. I have been like reading about this as well. Because you do know you have months that are better. Like you do know that about yourself.
Yes.
But when you start to track it, oh, that's so fascinating that you're doing that. I'm not there yet, but I'd like to look at that.
So there's more like with the workout side of things, like when you should actually be doing more yoga and not be going on like a 10-mile run. And I think that's what initially caught my interest. But then I was like, no, like during my luteal phase, I just want to be more introverted and write. I don't want to be taking meeting after meeting after meeting. And I was in the perfect situation this week with my cycle to be at South By, to be doing what I'm doing. Whereas like if I came last week, I would have been burning out. And so it's like, yes, you're going to struggle with depression and things, especially when you're an entrepreneur and an artist, whatever. But like I sometimes look back, especially like during my sports career, what was I experiencing manic depression, or was I just absolutely exhausted because I was running 60-mile weeks during my luteal phase?
Yeah, interesting.
Right. Yeah. So, but like I think as women entrepreneurs, like, you know, we are not like men. We are not like, there's the certain influencers of the world where there's power through, night and day, like 3 a.m. Like that's the entrepreneurial vibe. And it's like, no, it's not.
It's not. I've been there. I've done that. I've climbed that mountain. I'm more productive now by making sure I'm getting rest.
And I think like the number one rule that you learn when you go into domestic violence training to be an advocate is that you have to give these women you have to empower them by giving them the tools to succeed. You can't tell them to leave.
Right.
Because you and I both know, like, it takes multiple times for someone to leave a toxic situation.
Absolutely.
And so, like, what you're doing, like, you're teaching them how to have these tools of autonomy, financial literacy, and that nurturing And that holistic approach is, it seems like it's how they move on to their next job.
Yep.
And help scale even your company.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's great. I mean, but it's a weird company to have, because it's like, just when you get these amazing employees, you're like, go on to somebody else, right? I mean, we do have a lot of internal promotion, and that works out well. But I mean, I love seeing butterflies get their wings and fly, like, across the board. Like, yeah. even for my younger staff. I mean, I know I'm still a small startup. Like, they are so valuable. Yeah, I don't love when they go to another big company, but I also feel very proud of the role I played in that journey to, like, give them the strength and confidence to go on. So, yeah.
Where have these women gone after they've, like, worked with you?
Kind of all over. Okay. I think there's not, like, a particular industry, but we've had some go into automotive, obviously, being in Detroit. Some go into other like call centers, hospitality areas. Some have gone to work for Amazon. Mm-hmm. Some have started their own businesses.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
What kind of businesses?
Photography business, bakery business.
Wow.
So yeah, it's just kind of, it's all over. Some have gone on to, to help people in similar situations, which I think is just amazing too. Like, now they're like kind of placing people in jobs like Rebel Now.
Right.
So yeah, it's been cool.
How do you like keep this community together, you know, once they kind of grow their wings? You know, have you seen them like support one another in various ways?
You know, I know that they're all so close. And it's one of the things that like the pandemic had, I had all these plans and we're still like getting back out there. I'm very still close with them, like more so anecdotally, right? Like, I keep in touch with them, but I have to have like a formalized program around, right. Like, we still track like their success, but I would like to formalize it more.
Mm-hmm.
So that's your
now I'm giving you ideas.
Yeah, you're making me put that back on the to-do list, or like make it a priority.
So gathering materials and stuff for a type of product like jewelry, you know, takes some sort of investment. Mm-hmm. When you were first starting Rebel Now, you know, it's brilliant to kind of take the graffiti as material use for this product. But then how did you initially do a raise or things like that and convince essentially investors that this was a viable solution to making the product?
I think where we always kind of come from is the nostalgia piece, or the preservation of memories is a really important part of that decision. Yes, of course, there's the sustainability piece, which is really cool. And I love that it's forcing people to look at the world in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so often we are just such a consumer society, we discard things so quickly. But if you take a second to look, is there something there that has meaning and can be repurposed? You know, you look at our graffiti, even that, like, we don't touch it while it's on the wall. We have a really strict no-peel policy. We have a lot of respect for the artist, but once it falls on the ground and it's, like, going to go into the ground, we'll just go pick it up then, and we'll take it through a special process so we're revealing all the layers. But instead of a gemstone, you know, being mined and coming from its place where it probably should have lived, we find beauty with what's around us. I also think that's just, not that I was truly thinking about this necessarily when I started Rebel Now, but as I'm, you know, 12 years in, I think it's such a thread too with the women that we employ, right? Society is so, discards them, but God, they are amazing. They're talented. They're beautiful. They just need, someone to believe in them.
Yeah.
And that, so I'm getting a little sidetracked, but, you know, that's how we really assess material. So I've approached, you know, all the major sports teams in Detroit. It's like, you guys are throwing out something here that your fans would love an opportunity to have a piece of. Can we think about this a little more? And then that's how a lot of these collaborations come to be. Plus, it helps them with their sustainability efforts.
Yeah.
It helps our community because of the work we do. So it's really a win-win for everybody in that regard.
And did you have, so you come from the sports world, but like, did you Were you making jewelry before you started Rebel Nail? Like, how? Why jewelry?
That's funny. I was, but to call myself a jeweler is offensive to actual jewelry designers out there. When I was in law school, I would, like, taught myself how to do bead work.
Okay.
To help pay for books and whatever expenses I could kind of offset. And
That's awesome.
When I started the company with my business partner, she had a background in jewelry making. So
okay.
That was a little bit, but she also had like a class. Like neither one of us really had the experience. But I loved the creative process. And once I learned more and I taught myself everything, I love the creativity. And I love that everything we make is one of a kind. Your piece is only your piece. No one else will have anything remotely close to it. Because of the nature of the material, but also like the woman who had the vision to make it.
Right.
I think that's where the love of it came from, is the creative portion. But then also when we first did our first round of hiring out of the shelter and seeing the impact the jewelry process had on the women. Yes, we tackle a lot of the other stuff, but that is like boring and it takes time. Mm-hmm. Not to say boring, but it's not like an immediate gratification.
Right.
Where seeing them make their first piece of jewelry and the power they feel, and it's like this, like, I made that. And then someone is essentially saying, like, I believe in you, but when they purchase it, like, that is where we see, like, almost instant transformation.
That's what I loved about the activation yesterday, because you got to put your hands on the graffiti.
Mm-hmm.
So for the listeners that are tuning in right now, the activation had like all this different scraps of graffiti, which is all different colors, different patterns. I'm actually wearing the pin that was made, but
nice. Yeah. Oh, that's a pretty one.
Yeah, the pink's like coming
through.
Yeah. And I was like, I was conflicted because I wanted like this one. I wanted shades of blue. I'm like, all right, I can only make one. But I picked one that had like, it looked like a pink leopard print.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, this is me. Like, pink and sparkles. Like, just my entire personality. And then I passed it on. They put it, like, in the machine to make this pin. And it's, like, the shape of Michigan, which I think is really cool. But, like, for me to have a part in that process and then look at someone else and have their, it's, like, it tells just a small enough story, which, you know, speaks to, like, why I wanted to have you on Sparkle, right? Like, everyone has that sparkle. And then your sparkle is also made up of so many different identities. So every piece of jewelry, when you're expanding, you know, like, either buying, like, more Rebel Nail products or, like, you know, these women making them, it's showing that multifaceted skill set that we carry as women.
Yep.
And, yes, we, you know, capitalistic society, whatever, but now we have a material object that holds value for our emotions, our stories. And I don't think that's a bad thing.
I agree with you.
I think it's a great thing.
I think it's beautiful.
Yeah. And so where do you see kind of like, I mean, someone might like hear your story and they'll be like, how does she come from sports and then go into jewelry making? And it goes to that point of being a multifaceted human. How did your sports career kind of give you the courage, or maybe it didn't, I have no idea, but to take that leap of faith to be like, Rebel Nail is now, this is my new chapter.
Yeah.
Because we go through chapters.
Very much so. And I never thought I would leave sports once I got in. I worked so hard to get in.
That's really powerful.
Oh my gosh. There's so many stories, right? Like everyone doubted me, and you know, I had this one guy, this is like one story I tell quite frequently, but it was such a turning point for me, who I thought was going to be this incredible door opener. And I told him my dreams and he was like, laughed out loud. And was like, honey.
Was this a supervisor?
No, this was a man who owned a bunch of minor league teams down south. This was like me trying, still like getting my foot in the door.
Gotcha.
This was before I started the Tigers. And he was like, honey, your best bet is to marry a player.
Ew.
I know.
What the hell?
But I mean,
oh my God.
But to his credit, needless to say, that was like the last, I mean, that was the first and only interaction I had with him. And I was finishing up business school at the time, but I was so excited because I really thought he was going to be the one because he owned all these minor league teams. I was like, this is what I want to do. Maybe he can give me an internship. And because of him, I said, I respectfully disagree. And I turned around, I walked out, had a solid cry for 3 hours. And then I was like, screw that dude. And then I just started applying to every Major League Baseball team. And I have still at my parents' house, like, a box of rejection letters. Because it does, like, we would get hard letters back in the day. But they had a cool letterhead. See? Like, today's generation is missing out on, they're just getting the digital one. We would get, like, the letterhead.
They sometimes go to Spain. And they don't even,
yeah. Exactly. So I would get, like, the cool letterhead of, like, thanks for applying, but no. And, in fact, I had two or three from the Tigers before I finally got the opportunity. So I just kept going. But, yeah, I got in. I worked my butt off. I enjoyed it. But as I mentioned earlier, you know, there were a lot of challenges. But I had started Rebel Now while I was still at the Tigers. As I don't know if you heard on the panel yesterday, but, like, everybody in Detroit has a side hustle, if not two or three.
I don't know anyone nowadays that really doesn't.
And that's fair. I think we live in that world. But Detroit has, like, consistently. Just always. That's one of our mottos is Detroit hustles harder. Like, we just have that. But so it was just a side hustle, right? It was just, like, something I loved to do in the evenings, and I didn't know where it was going to go, but that wasn't part of my overall vision. But then, you know, I kept thinking about it constantly. I was thinking of, like, all the time I was thinking about Rebel Now. And then there's that, I think women relate to this more. No offense to our men listeners at all, but they're, like, we have this inner tug that we can feel.
Yeah.
And it was getting louder and louder, and I kept, like, quieting it because I was like, no. Mm. I'm in sports. I will stay in sports till I die. This is all I wanted. And it was, like, get louder and louder and louder. And then it wasn't an immediate overnight decision. It was probably, like, a solid 2 years of, should I? Maybe I should. Should I go do that? Like, what? I don't know. And then after about 2 years, I was like, you only live once.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather try it and fail than wonder what if.
Mm.
And so I walked away.
It's so scary when you feel that moment where something that meant so much to you, and I really, with the sports one heavily,
yeah,
like, where it's so funny because I said at the beginning, this, nothing can ever dim your light, but there is a dimming that happens on certain aspects of our sparkle,
yes.
And it almost, like, sunsets,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's a very visceral experience because it's like, how in the world did something that meant so much to me just is now just going away?
Yeah.
And then it's like, then you have to find the courage to go after the next thing. And it's like, hold on, like, this is a huge risk because sometimes that tug is not clear.
Yeah.
Like, that mission is not clear.
Yeah.
What was that, like you couldn't ignore it anymore, but what was, like, was there a split moment or was it just a combination of moments for you?
No, I think I'm just incredibly impulsive in a very good and bad way.
Yeah.
Like, I come from the mindset of, F it, I'll figure it out. Yeah. And I had just reached that point where I was like, I'm itching to go.
Yeah.
And it was terrifying, but I also don't spend too much time thinking about, I don't know. I mean, it's funny because I guess I do. But in that moment, I wasn't worried about, like, well, what if it didn't work out? That wasn't there. But it's funny. Now I do spend a lot of time in that anxiety space. I think, you know, when you're carrying, and I'm trying not to, but this is you're making me do a soul search moment right now because I'm trying to figure out what exactly that was. There was a fear factor, but it wasn't enough to make me not do it. I don't know. I just was like, and it was naivete, if you will. Like, I just was like, yeah. I didn't think too much about the future at that point.
I think, like, when I experience it, it's like the fear of not going after it.
Yeah.
Or exploring it or leaning into that curiosity is worse than the fear of it, like, not working out.
I think you're right. And I'm like, I'm not getting any younger.
Yeah.
I got into sports once. If I try this, you know, yeah, maybe it'd be an uphill battle again. But I know I can do it. I can do something else.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give this a whirl.
That's the other thing. I think that's an important note that, like, you were touching on. You can go back.
You can always go back. Nothing in life is permanent. Nothing in life is concrete while we still have a beating heart, right?
Yeah.
And we are so good at coming up with all the things that could go wrong. God, I'm really good at that.
Yeah.
But why aren't we spending our energy on what about all the things that could go right?
Yeah. I think that's the question that kind of like when we're in these moments, we have to ask ourselves, like, what if it does work out?
What if it works out?
Yeah.
And then I look back and like all the worrying I've done the past 12 years.
Hmm.
I somehow I'm still here. I'm somehow sitting in front of you with a mic in my face talking about Rebel Now because it still exists, right?
Yes, you are.
It hasn't been easy, but you figure it out. Yeah. But man, if I want to spiral in a day, I can get on that slide.
Yeah.
And spiral like crazy. And it's all about all the things that could go wrong. I mean, just yesterday, I think about even South By and that activation. It could not have gone smoother. It was seamless. That excavation was butter.
It was beautiful.
I know, but good God. Where my head was 4 hours prior to that was like...
It was like the perfect touch to that day, though. Mm-hmm. Like, it was Michigan. They had the band. They had the food trucks. They had the bar. But then it was like, okay, well, are we just going to sit there? And then, like, no. It was the perfect balance of it all.
Yes.
It was one of my favorite days. Like, oh, my gosh. I called my boyfriend after I left your activation because the day before I said, no, like, this was actually, like one of the best days of my life. And I said, actually, false alarm, today was, like, one of the best days of my life. And it was just, you know, there was a combination. It was just the people that I was talking to, the community that it brought. Like, I met one of your team members that we hit it off. And then, like, it was just, it's just cool. And now I feel like this became an advertisement for South by Southwest, so.
And Midwesterners. And we are super nice.
Because I have my Midwest yes. roots. I went to Xavier. Super nice. I did my time there. And that's what I was. I was laughing about it. I was like, oh, you know what? For how bittersweet, it was the best of times and worst of times, Xavier. But it always goes back to your roots.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last question, because you got to get to the airport. What does empowerment mean to you?
Oh, gosh, I haven't been asked this in a while, and I feel like it's changed. To me, empowerment is an energy.
Because
that's what it triggered for me when you said that. It is an energy of belief in yourself. And when we empower others, that's what we should be doing.
Yeah. Transferring of energy.
Yeah.
And sparkling on.
Sparkle on, baby!
So happy for you. So happy we finally got to meet in person instead of online. Everyone, go get Rebel Now. It's an amazing company.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.